listening to a journalism.co.uk podcast. This week saw the launch of the Huffington Post's UK arm, the site's first move outside of North America. Journalism.co.uk reporter Joseph Stashko spoke to Carla Busashi, Huffington Post UK's editor-in-chief.
I think the unique aspect of the Huffington Post, the blogging side, is that we're, you know, anyone from Joe Bloggs to Ricky Gervais, Tony Blair, David Cameron, to fashion designers and interior designers, if they want to. It's a really open platform. And the idea that it's, you know, there's some politics, but you've got lifestyle content in there as well. You're just as likely to read about, you know, the latest superfood as you are about union strikes. So it's a real mix, which we reckon is going to be really intoxicating for our users. I think one of the things we've been really encouraged, actually, is the level of brand recognition here. There's 1.2 million Brits reading the HuffingtonPost.com every month. You know, they're seeking out. And now we're actually creating UK content for those UK users. I can only see that growing. So I've got 9 permanent people in the office, and we've also taken on Linda Rothschild as our editor-at-large, which is really, really exciting as well. So there's 10 of us on the team in total. So we've got lots of original reporting going on. The team have been busy interviewing, out speaking to people over the last few weeks to make sure we've got some great original journalism. That's, you know, an absolute must on this site. But then also curating content as well. The whole point of the Huffington Post is you come to us and we're going to make sure that you can access the best that's out there news-wise on the web that day. So curation is definitely a part of it. And then blogs, you know, that's our USP. So the whole team has been out there speaking to bloggers, editing blogs as they've been coming in as well. So everyone's got to be multitasked to work on this site.
Over 300 UK bloggers have signed up after the Huffington Post's initial push. We spoke to 2 of them to find out why they want to be part of it.
I'm Matt Saab Cousin. I write for Political Scrapbook and I'm a researcher for the Labour Party. I'm going to be writing about politics, society and the economy for the Huffington Post. I decided to do it because obviously the style of Scrapbook is very sort of news oriented, and I would like the Huffington Post provides me with a platform to perhaps talk in more detail about sort of specific areas of politics. The main thing I'll be blogging about is different policy areas and how they impact on society, a bit of social commentary and a bit of economics as well, I suppose. Yeah.
Kate McCann, I write about local government and housing for The Guardian's Local Government and Housing Networks. I think it's really good to blog for them because, as a young journalist, I think the best thing you can do is get your name out there and practice what you have to do. And I think it's all well and good saying that you want to be paid for your work, but if nobody knows that you're about and nobody knows that you can write, then there's nothing to pay for. So I think it's a really good way of practicing your skills and a good way of getting a profile for yourself. In part, it'll be what I already do, because obviously local government is what I write about mainly for The Guardian, but I'm interested in politics generally, so probably more national stuff. I think it's just more voices. I think it's more variety, more voices, more people given the chance to blog. I get the impression they're going to be quite easy about who they get to write for them and who they let on the site, so I think it's good that the more people you have, the more opinion and the more conversation you can get going and the bigger the community. I think in political blogging there can be a bit of a clique, and I think the best thing that you can do is get a wider conversation going and get more people's voices in there.
We also spoke to media commentator and editor of the Media Briefing, Patrick Smith. But what did he think of the Huffington Post as a business?
It's very exciting. I think Huffington Post is a very exciting business. I think it's growing very fast. I think it's early days. It's very popular in America, but like a lot of general interest websites, it's not, its monetization doesn't match its readership at the moment, but you can see that the growth curve is only going in one direction. And this is the first launch outside of North America, and prefaces launches across the world. I think France is coming next, and then probably Brazil. So I think it's very exciting, and it'll be interesting to see whether the UK reading public take to it. And it'll also be interesting in a converse way to see whether the US public take to The Guardian's extended US site, which is going to be growing in the next 6 months. So there's a kind of a sort of cross-Atlantic. gigantic cross-pollination of liberal news sites going on at the moment. I think digitally they're very similar business models in that they're entirely free. They hire journalists to write original stuff and to aggregate stuff as well. That's a huge part of what The Guardian's doing, is to link to the best stuff out on the web. And that's essentially the Huffington Post business model, is to curate and to aggregate the best things that people might want to read and to encourage people to blog for them, controversially for not much pay, or in fact no pay. Although that's pretty much similar to what The Guardian's been doing for years with Comment is Free, although instead of writing for free, people do it for a very small amount. But the big difference between the two companies is that The Guardian's revenue comes majoritively from the newspaper, from The Guardian, The Observer, from circulation revenue and from printed advertising, as well as a bit from events and a bit from licensing and things like that. Whereas the Huffington Post hasn't got any revenue in print, and it also has no costs in print, so it's a much leaner business, and it's able to act a bit more quickly to the way that people consume news. Whereas The Guardian, I think, because it's tied to this printed legacy, it can only move as fast as its audience changes, I think.
Some people aren't so enthusiastic about the company's UK launch, arguing that the Huffington is exploiting its bloggers by not paying them. We put this concern to Patrick.
I can see why people would be upset or would be negative about that, but my take is that this isn't a job that the Huffington Post is offering. It's offering a platform. It's offering a forum for debate. People blog, thousands of people all over the world, they'll blog on their own sites for free. They don't expect to be paid for it. And essentially, Huffington Post saying, instead of doing that on your site, come and do it on ours. There's no obligation. You can blog as often as you want. You can blog as little as you want. Or you don't have to do it at all. And I think there are various reasons people create things in online now. People, for the past 50 years, have just watched TV. And now what they're doing in the online age is creating stuff. There's much more people creating intelligent and worthwhile stuff and not expecting to be monetarily rewarded for it. And I think Huffington Post is a big part of that. So people enjoy doing it. People get recognition through it. And also, you'll see a lot of authors on Huffington Post. You'll see a lot of well-known politicians. You'll see public figures, you know, people with stuff to sell. And I think the Huffington Post is very open-minded about allowing people to get that exposure.
With many prominent blogs all across the political spectrum, we asked Patrick how he saw the Huffington Post fitting in with the current UK scene.
Politics is one of the areas where the UK blogging scene has taken off, and there's, you know, a dozen very well-read and influential independent blogs not tied to a major print brand. I think it'll fit in. They've got some serious people. I mean, they're hiring, genuine reporters, genuine journalists. They need some scoops, because you're only as good as your last scoop in political journalism, or indeed in any kind of news-led journalism. So they need some stories. We'll see. I think they'll fit in. What they'll do, because of their aggregation style, I think over time they will play more of a role in the political discourse, because what they want is for their live blog to be the centre of the debate and to be the place that people go to watch how a story unfolds over the day. So they'll be linking to all those sites, and they'll be linking to all those newspapers. Unless, of course, those newspapers are behind a paywall, in which case they don't get linked to at all.
Since its launch in 2005, the Huffington Post has put social media at the heart of what it does, integrating Facebook and Twitter and pushing the importance of commenting to all its users. We asked Patrick what the future for social news was.
That's one of the key trends, I think, in online publishing at the moment, is the move from a search-based discovery platform or a search-based discovery model to a person-to-person-based discovery model. So Twitter's been very important in that. Facebook is hugely important in that. And Huffington Post's integration between social sharing platforms such as Facebook and such as Twitter, and its system of badges, its system of commenters, you see the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of comments that go on one of their popular stories on America. They rank commenters by how much they comment, and there's almost a game system system, a game-like system of rewarding people with badges and different titles. I think that's really impressive. I think that it's probably going far and beyond any social system that British news publishers would have at the moment. And I think it's definitely a good idea to reward your readers for being there and to give them a system whereby the readers control the flow of the conversation much more than, it used to just be a 300-word article and good night and that's it. But you can see how the Huffington Post readers actually define the experience of being there. The Daily Mail, the Mail Online is much the same thing. You can see how the comments on the Daily Mail online story generate more and more traffic, and the comments actually become more important. And the Mail was very clever in building a like system or unlike system, and people go back to the same thing, so they have really long dwell times, really low bounce rate, and there's a lot of similarity between the Huffington and what the Mail's doing.
For more podcasts and for articles on the Huffington Post's UK launch, go to journalism.co.uk. You've been listening to a journalism.co.uk podcast.